do one or two things here, and I'm feeling very much alone, as I did. You know, I muted you so we wouldn't hear too much background noise, and now I don't hear anything or see anyone but myself. So trust this is okay. I thought, you know, children are an important part of our congregation, and so what do we have for children? And I, you know, maybe it's best if families just, you know, have children's time, kind of like the music, on your own. But I thought, well, I'll just share a story. I looked for something, I found something, and hope kids will connect with this. This is a children's story by Catherine Loop. No one listening to Sarah's complain would have guessed that every day she was the recipient of more gifts than she could count. When she opened her eyes in the morning, there were always a pile of gifts sitting by her bed. All day long, in fact, she received one gift after another. Yet strangely enough, Sarah took most of the gifts for granted. The only time she really thought about the gifts was when one didn't arrive, or when a friend got a gift that seemed better than hers. On one particular afternoon, Sarah was feeling especially blue. A gift she'd been longing to have for a long time still hadn't arrived. She was surrounded by all the other gifts that had arrived. Yet Sarah wasn't enjoying them. Instead, she was bemoaning the absence of the one gift she longed for. Sarah had good reasons to want the gift too. Couldn't she serve the king, the giver of the gifts, much better if she had the gift? Wasn't it a good gift she longed for? Indeed it was. Yet why then did it not come? Why so downcast, Sarah? The question came from Sarah's sister Mary. That gift I've been wanting still isn't here, Sarah pouted. Mary paused before replying, weighing her words carefully. Sarah, do you trust the king? The question startled Sarah a little. Of course she trusted the king. Why, the king had rescued her from prison. She had vowed to serve him with everything within her. Of course, she replied. And did you not tell him your life belonged to him? Sarah nodded, and Mary continued. Then you've no cause to complain about the gifts. Sarah knew her sister was right. What did it matter if that gift arrived anyway? If she needed this gift to complete the tasks the king had for her, he would send it. If not, then he must have something else for her to do. Either way, though, she had been missing out on the joy of serving the king and giving thanks for the gifts she had been given. Sarah gave her sister a hug and scampered out of the room with a light heart again. She was surrounded by gifts, and it was time to start living like it. In Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5, it says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Children, you may be frustrated by what you cannot do. Think also of what you can do and the good things you have. There are things to be thankful for. I think God has given us many gifts. I'm going to turn now to the message. And I thought for a scripture reading today, I want to read Luke 5, 12 and 13. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. I seem to be having a little bit of feedback, and I'm not sure if someone has unmuted themselves or if it's on my end. But if you have unmuted yourself, please mute yourself again. I think then we'll have less interference. I thought I would break from my Matthew series today. I felt I should have a word that maybe speaks more to our current situation. I want to talk about isolation. And as I reflected on isolation, it seems that there's physical isolation and there's social isolation. And often those things happen together. As I thought of isolation in the Bible, I thought, well, the lepers. In Leviticus 13, we find regulations regarding infectious skin diseases. The Lord gave Moses and Aaron a detailed explanation of what to do when anyone has a swelling or a rash that may be a defiling skin disease. The person is to go to the priest, who will examine the sore on the skin. And there was a measure or a means to determine if the person had an infectious skin disease or not. Then in verses 45 to 46, it says, anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of their face, and cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp. It seems so harsh. And I understand the intent. But I think, well, where is compassion in all of this? In the time of Jesus, infectious skin diseases were viewed as a curse. And those who had these diseases were called lepers. They were avoided at all costs. Jesus came along and he restored dignity to lepers. He saw their humanity. Jesus had compassion. Now, I admit that Jesus had the advantage of being able to heal, which he frequently did. And yet, I think there are significant things to learn from Jesus' interactions with lepers. Like those with infectious skin diseases, people today with COVID-19 are supposed to isolate. And even if we don't have this virus, we're to stay home much of the time. Students are not in class. When we go out, such as to a store, there are all these distancing rules. I went to Costco this week. Outside, there is a queue to get into the store, and they only permit a certain number of customers in the store at a time. Inside, there are signs cautioning us to keep social distance. I went to the produce cooler. I had to wait my turn because it gets rather tight in there. At the checkout, I had to stand on the other side of the plastic shield from the cashier. The bagger put my purchases in the cart. She said she could not put them in my bags because they were not allowed to touch something that a customer has brought into the store. And so all these things, it feels really weird. For those who return from another country, there are further restrictions and now quarantine laws with hefty fines for violators. For those who feel unwell, and particularly if you or I should get COVID-19, we will need to avoid others, and others will want to avoid us. Yet our restrictions are mild compared to the isolation experienced by lepers. Luke was a doctor. And he includes a detail that Matthew and Mark kind of overlook. The first two gospel writers simply say the man had leprosy. Luke says the man was full of, or as the NIV translates, covered with leprosy. You know, this was an advanced case. It was bad. Now, for your information, the leprosy in the Bible may have been different from what we term leprosy today. Then it was a broad term applied to a variety of skin diseases and infections. But then, as today in some parts of the world, there were devastating impacts to both body and spirit. Possibly the most devastating aspect of leprosy was the isolation, particularly the social isolation. Lepers were banished from society. They were outcasts. People didn't talk to them. If they came near a healthy person, they had to exclaim, unclean, unclean, to warn others. Lepers were, and in some places they still are, untouchable. The leper in Luke 5 must have heard some things about Jesus, for he felt that he could approach Jesus and he could ask for help. He was so confident, he said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. I have 2 points, and then I want to share some stories of a doctor's work with leprosy. The first is that we may have absolute confidence in Jesus, And the second is that as followers of Jesus, we're to have his compassion for others. So absolute confidence in Jesus. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. I often don't understand when he is willing and when he is not, and why or why not. Yet I am convinced that we may be confident in him. Like the leper, the more we hear about Jesus, the more confident we will become in approaching him. Jesus has compassion. Jesus is always approachable. We come to Jesus with our needs. He responds in various ways, but always with compassion. For persons with COVID-19 or other illnesses, we ask Jesus to make us or others well. Whether we have physical illnesses like a virus or mental illnesses, we are welcome to pray, to ask for help and healing. I've prayed with many people. I've witnessed some amazing answers, but only occasionally healings the way Jesus often performed them. And I accept that it's not God's will to heal us from every illness, at least not in the here and now. I also believe God works through medicine, through health workers and the rest of us. He does this particularly in concert with the prayers of his people. And so I think it is vital that we pray during this time. Prayer makes a difference. We must have, we may have absolute confidence in Jesus. The same Jesus who said, "I am willing, be clean," will respond to our requests for help and healing. And he may work through doctors and ventilators and medicine. But we may be confident he will do great things as we come to him. He may not do all that we want, but he is good. And so we place our confidence in him. I think too, for persons hurting economically during this time, we may go to Jesus for help. Some have lost jobs. Students may have trouble finding work. You may have lost investment money. Many are hurting financially. God cares. God helps. And again, he may work through government programs or the generosity of people. Please know God cares. I believe we may have absolute confidence in Jesus. So continue to go to him and ask for help. Please pray for yourself and for others. Secondly, with Jesus in our hearts, we minister with his compassion for others. I am not naturally like Jesus. I often think of myself first. The scriptures talk about Christ in us. In Romans 12, it says, we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. God produces his character in us, not because we're naturally good, but because the Holy Spirit is in us. He changes us into the image of Jesus. We have an active part to play in this transformation. I believe our part is to ask, and then as much as we're able to act upon this change we're asking for. All the time, trusting the Spirit to transform and work through us. So I pray, Lord, help me to be compassionate like you are compassionate. And then I seek to act with compassion. And it takes effort. God works in me to make me a more compassionate person, and I find myself loving people more. I find joy in caring for others. I'm a work in progress. And so whatever good you see in me is the goodness of God, not my nature. I believe we see how this works in Ephesians 5:18. It says, be filled with the Spirit. In this verse, we have an imperative, a command in the passive voice. We are used to commands in the active voice, you know, wash your hands, stay home. We get it. Those are things that we can and should do. We're not as used to commands in the passive voice, being told to have something done to us. You know, you could be told to have a nurse take your temperature. While you have a part in that, you must put yourself in a place where it will be done to you. But it is someone else who does it. We are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. We don't do it. It does not say, fill yourself with the Spirit. Only the Spirit can fill us. And yet it is a command. We must have it done to us. We must position ourselves to be filled. So how do we do that? Three words: ask, faith, surrender. We ask, Holy Spirit, please fill me. We have faith. Like the leper, we believe, if you want to, you can make me clean. You can fill me with the Holy Spirit. We're commanded to be filled, so we know he wants to fill us. We surrender. Being filled with the Spirit is contrasted with being drunk with wine. What is the problem with drunkenness? Well, the alcohol controls the person. The drunk person loses his or her inhibitions and does things they would not otherwise do. In contrast to being controlled by alcohol, we want to be controlled, filled by the Spirit. Then we will be like Jesus. So this morning, I'm focusing on the specific quality of compassion. We want to have compassion for those in isolation. So now I want to share the life of Dr. Paul Brand. Some of you may have read about him, and I trust you'll be inspired by his compassion, by the life of Christ in him. Philip Yancey talks about Dr. Brand in his book, Soul Survivor. Brand was a brilliant doctor who was well known in the world medical community. He had offers to head up major medical centers in England and the United States, and invitations for distinguished lectureships all over the world. There are hand surgery procedures named in his honor, amongst many other accomplishments. And yet Brand spent most of his life not circulating amongst the world's elite, but working in India, and later in a poorly equipped hospital and research center for Hansen's disease in an isolated location in Louisiana. Hansen's disease is the formal name for what is more commonly known as leprosy. Yancey described Brand as having more intellectual and spiritual depth than anyone he has ever met. Yet Brand gave most of his speeches to a handful of leprosy patients in the hospital's Protestant chapel. Paul Brand gave much of his life to helping the social rejects of this world. In biblical times, leprosy victims kept their distance and they shouted, unclean. In medieval times, they lived outside town walls and wore warning bells. Yancey writes, even today in modern India, home to 4 million leprosy victims, a person showing signs of the disease may be kicked, literally with a shoe, out of family and village to lead a beggar's life. Yancey interviewed some of Brand's former patients and heard stories of human cruelty almost beyond belief. Yet instead of becoming bitter, Brand lived with a spirit of gratitude. He was a very positive person. Brand believed there was great good in pain. We want to eradicate the world of pain. We don't like pain. Brand pointed out that the effects of leprosy, damaged faces, blindness, and loss of fingers, toes, and limbs are all side effects of painlessness. As a young doctor in India, Brand made the groundbreaking medical discovery that leprosy does its damage merely by destroying nerve endings. People who lose pain sensation then damage themselves by such simple actions as gripping a splintered rake or wearing tight shoes. Pressure sores form, infection sets in, and no pain signals alert to them to the wounded area. I thank God for pain, Brand declared with utmost sincerity. I cannot think of a greater gift I could give my leprosy patients. We have a very intricate system for signaling pain, which protects the human body. Now, I confess that I don't like pain. But as I think about it, I see that pain brings benefits, be that physical pain or emotional pain. Painful experiences help us with protection and present opportunities for growth. When Jesus healed the leper, I suspect he also gave him back his sense of pain. Jesus calls us to be part of his ministry team, to bring healing to people in need and to love people the way he loves us. Yancey had the opportunity to work with Dr. Brand and to follow him around the world. Yancey met many dedicated Christians who devote their lives to healing the wounds of humanity. In India, for example, where less than 3% of the population claims to be Christian, nearly a fifth of all medical work is performed by Christian doctors and nurses, many of them trained at Brand's old hospital in Vellore. Yancey got to accompany some of these workers on mobile visits to villages. They served Hindus, Muslims, Sikhs, Jains, Parsis, and communists alike. He writes, "If you say the word Christian to an Indian peasant who may never have heard of Jesus Christ, the first image to pop into his mind may well be that of a hospital or of a medical van that stops by his village once a month to provide free personal care." In 1990, Paul Brand took Philip Yancey to his childhood home, a remote place in the mountains of India where his parents had been missionaries. When they arrived, the villagers gathered to pay tribute to the ministry of the Brands. Yancey remembers one speech especially by a woman who spoke of Paul's mother. "The hill tribes didn't practice abortion," she said. "They disposed of unwanted children by leaving them beside the road. Granny Brand would take in these children, nurse them back to health, rear them, and try to educate them. I was one of the unwanted ones left to die. There were several dozen of us, but she treated it more like an adoption center than an orphanage. We called her Mother of the Hills. When I did well in studies, she paid for me to go off to a proper school, and eventually I earned a master's degree. I now teach nursing at the University of Madras, and I came several hundred miles today to honor the Brands for what they did for me and many others." In India, Yancey met Sadan, a former patient of the Brands. Sadan showed Yancey his feet, which ended in smooth, rounded stumps instead of toes. "I met the Brands too late to save these," he said, "but they gave me shoes that let me walk." Sadan told wrenching stories of past rejection. The classmates who made fun of him at school, the driver who forcibly threw him off a public bus, the many employers who refused to hire him despite his training and talent, the hospitals that turned him away with a brusque, "We don't treat lepers here." "When I got to Vellore, I spent the night on the Brand's veranda because I had nowhere else to go," said Sadan. "That was unheard of for a person with leprosy back then. I can still remember when Dr. Brand took my infected bleeding feet in his hands. I had been to many doctors. A few had examined my hands and feet from a distance, but doctors Paul and Margaret were the first medical workers who dared to touch me. I had nearly forgotten what human touch felt like. Even more impressive, they let me stay in their house that night. And this was when even healthcare workers were terrified of leprosy." Sadan then recounted the elaborate sequence of medical procedures, tendon transfers, nerve strippings, toe amputations, and cataract removal performed by the Brands. "By transferring tendons to his fingers, they made it possible for him to write again. And now he kept accounts for a program that gave free leprosy care through 53 mobile clinics. His past life was a catalog of human suffering, and the stigma continues to this day. Just recently, he had sat in a car alone and watched his daughter's wedding from a distance, afraid his presence would disturb the guests." Before Yancey left, Sadan made this astonishing statement: "Still, I must say that I am now happy that I had this disease." "Happy?" Yancey asked incredulously. "Yes," replied Sadan. "Apart from leprosy, I would have been a normal man with a normal family, chasing wealth and a higher position in society. I would never have known such wonderful people as Dr. Paul and Dr. Margaret. And I would never have known the God who lives in them." Jesus invites you and me to be part of his team and to come alongside and heal broken people. And I don't think our situation is going to become as bad as it is for lepers in India. But there are always people in need around us. Yes, like the leper, people may go to Jesus. I hope they will. But like doctors Paul and Margaret, we may be Jesus to many people. In this time of crisis in Canada and around the world, we live with compassion for others. As we look to Jesus, he will work in and through us. In one of Yancey's last conversations with him, Dr. Brand looked back on his life and said, "Because of where I practiced medicine, I never made much money at it. But I tell you that as I look back over a lifetime of surgery, the host of friends who once were patients bring me more joy than wealth could ever bring. I first met them when they were suffering and afraid. As their doctor, I shared their pain. Now that I am old, it is their love and gratitude that illuminates the continuing pathway of my life. It's strange. Those of us who involve ourselves in places where there is the most suffering look back in surprise to find that it was there that we discovered the reality of joy." And he then quoted another saying of Jesus, "Happy are they who bear their share of the world's pain. In the long run, they will know more happiness than those who avoid it." And that's the Phillips translation. This is a difficult time for us and for many people. But I just want to share those thoughts that we may have absolute confidence in Jesus, and we want to look to Jesus. And then with him in us, let us have compassion for others. And it's hard to know right now. Like, how do we minister to others? How do we care when we're supposed to stay at home and not go out except for essential things, which are basically groceries and a few others? But, you know, let's trust God to bring joy in some way to other people with God working in us. I trust that encourages you today. We want to now have a time for prayer, and just trying to do something here.